Page 1, Editor's Page, by Judy Wilkinson. I am fortunate that one privilege of editing this publication is that I get my own soapbox in every issue to talk about pretty much whatever takes my fancy. I had a particular topic in mind for this issue, but as sometimes happens as the articles came in, I found a theme emerging which interested me more and which I find more relevant to this issue. You'll get the other one sometime in the future. The recurring theme to which I'd like to add my voice can be stated in a single word, advocacy. In his 101 series lecture, Frank Welty provides strategies for advocating for causes you believe in. Stephen Mendelsohn, in his article on health care reform, emphasizes that we must each become an advocate to ensure that aspects of the new spectrum of health care issues facing us as blind or visually impaired citizens don't get overlooked. And in her first message as our new president, Donna Pomerantz reminds us that this organization belongs to each of us and that every single one of us must, in a sense, become advocates for those areas where we have skill or expertise. To me, the essence of advocacy has two components, speaking up and maintaining perspective. Most of us aren't born good advocates. We gain the skills with practice and experience. After nearly 40 years as a member of this organization, from its NFB days through its standalone status to its current affiliation with ACB, I'm very good at speaking up, but I wasn't always. Looking back, I now realize I like participating in my classes, asking questions, making my point. I even got over my fear when instructors unexpectedly called on me, and I stumbled for answers. I survived to talk another day. Page 2. Finally, in my chapter meetings of the UC students in the early 60s, where everyone liked to talk, I asked a question about a piece of legislation. No one laughed, and I learned about a particular bill we were promoting. Repeatedly, I expanded my comfort zone, as in the following incident. In the spring of my sophomore year, I answered the phone one afternoon when I was the only one at T22, the semi-permanent portable where all the blind students studied back then. "This is Dr. Tenbrek," the voice said. Many of you will recognize the name Jacobus Tenbrek, if for no other reason than that Catherine Skivers, in her recent articles about CCB history, refers to this member of the founders of the organization. While he is a controversial figure in ACB annals, he is revered by the NFB, and as a UC professor and sponsor of our student group, I knew, admired, and was terrified of him. I've found a little money from a generous donor here in Berkeley and wondered if any of you over there needed anything. I was tongue-tied. My knees shook. I desperately wished someone else were there for me to hand off the call to. Well, as some of you know, Dr. Tenbrek didn't suffer fools, and as the silence lengthened, he said, "Well, if no one there needs anything..." "No," I said, "that is yes, sir. We don't have enough Braille paper. I used the backsides of all my notes from last semester." "How much paper do you need?" "Any amount would do," I said. "Give me a number." He wasn't making it easy for me. "Well, if we had 6, maybe 8 reams of paper, that would give everyone some for probably a year." "Why do you need so much paper?" "Well, I write over 5 pages an hour every lecture and practically copy my textbooks word for word." I was surviving. Page 3. "That all?" "We could use some tapes." He wanted to know why rehab wasn't buying us tapes. Having justified the need for paper, I now had to make the case for tapes. We got them, but never enough to save books from earlier semesters to keep as references. "That's a good reason." I was so thrilled that I didn't hear his next question. "I can't hear a number." "I asked for 100. "Shall I tell the others you have money for things they need?" "No, you just spent it all." I hung up, knees still wobbly, but elated. I had advocated for things we needed and been told by the man I almost considered God that I had defended my requests. On my first trip to Sacramento, I couldn't imagine ever talking to a member who did all the talking. I discovered that the secretaries and administrative assistants were down-to-earth people. kind, interested, and willing to listen. Then in my junior year, I took a bus by myself to Sacramento and visited legislators' offices. I was handing out invitations to our legislative dinner rather than arguing about a difficult issue, but I had gone into those offices, spoken to the staff, and survived. I'm proud to say that though I couldn't accept the job, because, as luck would have it, I had gotten a summer teaching position, in 1968 the CCB offered me its job as legislative advocate, only a few short years after my joining the organization. So speak out and expand your comfort zone. Ask questions, make your point, stand your ground. In small committees, at chapter meetings, then perhaps on the floor of the convention. Then in all the ways and places we so need your efforts. As for maintaining perspective, Frank wisely advises, keep your temper while advocating. Now this I'm not so good at. Threatening to sue Safeway because their so-called site for visually impaired shoppers lack crucial services offered to folks using the regular website was not one of my better moments. Screaming at the taxi driver, who refused to take me and my guide dog to the airport, got me no closer to JFK. But I can't spend another 40 years learning this oh-so-important aspect of advocacy.